I believe it was a dream, but I'm not sure, of Scripture, one after another after another. I took extensive notes in the dream. Of course, there aren't any. But when I woke up, I realized, I don't know if I slept. But I dreamed for at least 10 hours about Scripture, nothing but Scripture. It was powerful. Did you know that when God created the world, everything that He created had a purpose? It's obvious, but still you have to think about that. That everything that God made in the world had a purpose that He assigned to it, that if you deviated from that purpose, it would be a breach. It would be a sin. It would be a derogation of the purpose that He assigned for it. And so, on the one hand, God, in His first four commandments, God said, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. So that's our very first duty. Worship God. And so, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and so on. Those first four are not the same as the last six. The first four are devoted totally to God, and He will ask an accounting of everybody that was born into the world for how you worship God. Now, everybody doesn't have the Ten Commandments, but everybody has written on their heart that God wants you to account for Him how you live on this planet. So everything and every place and every person has a purpose that God has assigned. And so for us, this is exclusive to us. We call this the, or at least I don't call it this, but that's what they call it in church history, the first table of the law. I don't really believe that's accurate, but it doesn't matter. We can call it the first table of the law. The first four belong to God. They have to do with worshiping God. And that's your first duty, is to worship God, not to obey the law, not to eat bread, not to love your neighbor. So your first duty is make sure that the God who made you is going to call you to account someday for how you lived your life. And so your worship of Him is to have no other gods before Him, not take His name in vain, etc. And so that worship of God is your main purpose in life. Main purpose in life. You could fail the other one, but you can't fail this one. And so God is going to call everybody here to account. And if you aren't familiar with the Bible, and you're a Buddhist or something else, atheist, whatever, it's still written on your heart. And so everybody knows, whether they admit it or not, that there is a God and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him and a punisher of those that do not. Not that he punishes us, but we punish ourselves by not lining up with what God created us for. So that's your assignment. Your assignment is that He created you for His glory.
Hallelujah.
He created you to live for the praise of His glory.
Hallelujah.
And because of that, every day we are to show worship to God. That He is greater than we are, certainly is smarter, and He's certainly stronger, and He is certainly gooder, He's better. And so we don't shine in those areas. But you were created to be His steward on earth, and part of your stewardship then has two parts. Part of it is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And everybody owes it, whether they know it or not, whether they talk about it or not. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. So faith in God, worship Him, and thank Him and praise Him and adore Him. And then also love your neighbor exactly in the same way you love yourself. Now, Jesus had a controversy, not with Buddhists, not with Hindus, not with Satanists, not with witchcraft people. He had a controversy with Israel. Because God had specifically given to Israel exactly His Ten Commandments. He hadn't given them to anybody else. Everybody else knew they were supposed to do good and not do bad, but they didn't know exactly what that meant. And so they did a lot of guessing. I think Buddha wants beer. Well, they just made that up. I think Aphrodite likes flowers. You know, we just made that stuff up. And so they knew there was a God, and they knew you had to do something for Him, sacrifice or do some kind of nice thing for Him. And so people made up, and I'm not exaggerating, they just made it up. Some king or some priest or whatever just invented what you might do as a form of social control. And it brought everybody together, and so people did what they did. But to the Jewish people, God selected them out, and He put Ten Commandments and summed up everything in those Ten Commandments and said, this is the whole business right here. Do these two things and that's it. Well, the Jews were pretty excited about that. It's, hey, other people don't know if there's one God or 50. We do. They don't know if God's friendly toward us or not. We do. And so they actually had God Himself speak to them historically in history. All other religions are just made up by man. And there are no gods at all. There aren't any gods. I'm not criticizing them. I'm not criticizing them at all. I'm just simply saying they know that they were supposed to give God worship and weren't supposed to eat their neighbor, for example. They know that. And there have been many studies done on cannibals. And that when they become believers, they immediately start confessing their sins. And they remember them vividly. They remember them vividly. And so, even though you can justify it because your tribe said it's okay to eat the neighbor, the truth is, everybody knew when they did it was wrong. I suppose because the people that you were eating their arm cried. Stop! Don't! You know. And I suppose that they just blew it off because of their religion, because of their belief. But actually, later when they became Christians, they confessed those sins because they knew they had done wrong. Do y'all understand what I just said? So don't be fooled by people's mind. The mind can justify all kinds of things, but your heart knows, your conscience knows. Everybody has a conscience. Everybody has a sacred conscience in him that knows I'm supposed to worship God somehow and live a good life and give an account to Him someday. Everybody knows that. Now, I know you. We can't prove that until, you know, it's all over. But I can just tell you that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. And the Bible says that's the way it is. It says that, oh, whoever you are, oh man, you have no excuse. Everybody knows they were supposed to do right and not do wrong. And a little kid that's bit by another little kid knows that's wrong. Whereas the little kid doing the biting feels it's okay. But the kid being bit knows it's not. So everybody knows there's right and wrong. You took my doll. That's wrong. Everybody knows that. Where's my tape recorder? You know, everybody knows when someone else does wrong, they know that's wrong. Now, they don't know it when they took it. Well, it's just laying around. So I took it. So the guy that takes it has a different take on it. He has a different explanation. But if you take one of his things, he'll also know that that was wrong. Hey, what'd you do? Give me that back. You know, so people are not what they say they are. People are hypocrites. People are hypocrites. In other words, they're pretending to be something that they're not. They're pretending that they're nicer than they are or different than they are. And so God has assigned a purpose to everything. And here's your purpose right here. Worship God. This is your purpose. Glorify God. Magnify God. Give thanks to God. Praise God. Daily, continually. And love your neighbor as yourself. Does everybody have that down? So two things. Very clear. Two purposes here. They're actually combined, but they're different. For example, though the whole history of the world, including Al-Qaeda today and Muslim extremists, believes that God should be obeyed, and if he isn't, I get to chop your head off. Okay, Catholics did it too. Protestants did it too. Jews did it. If you commit adultery when God said not to, we can kill you. So religion and violence from the beginning of the world have been joined together. But you know what? I'm just telling you, God never did that. God never assigned it that way. God does not want his first table enforced by the civil government. So God has never wanted the civil government to force Christians to believe a certain thing, or Muslims, or Buddhists, or anybody. Believe what you want. And even though officially today many modern nations acknowledge that to be the case, that that's wrong when Al-Qaeda shows violence like that and just cuts your head off. Well, you know what? We've all actually done it. In fact, they killed Jesus. Are you aware of that? They killed Jesus because he didn't agree with them. He said he was right. They said they were right, and they had more than he did, so they killed him. So violence, persecution, injury, harm has been normal to use religion as a way to help God out. Hey, God, I'm just helping you. I'm killing off all the people that don't believe in you. They don't believe the right way. Now, I'm sure you have a vague understanding of the 16th century and 17th century. Maybe even the early part of the 18th century. That the Puritans from England wanted to be free from the Catholics. And King James I didn't force him to be Catholic, but he leaned in that direction. And then his son Charles I married a Roman Catholic and scared him and began persecuting him and killing him and maiming him and booting him out. And a bunch of them came to America. And the Puritans were not Catholics. They were Protestants, and they believed that Calvin was right. And Calvin believed that if you didn't obey the first four commandments, that you should be punished or killed. And he did. And so that's part of the American understanding of Christianity. Now, none of our founding fathers agreed with that. None. Not one. But yet it still goes on. There are people that still want to force you to believe their way. Hare Krishnas, so on. They used to, I don't know if it's against the law now, but they used to hassle you in the airport to become Hare Krishna, and give them money and all this stuff. So it's weird. So it's never really left the American psyche or experience that you could force the first four commandments. In other words, the worship side of it, that religion could be forced. Al-Qaeda does it every day. ISIS and Boko Haram and so on and so on. All those alphabet names, they're all the same thing, which is they're extremists certainly not the majority. 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, and 85% of them, maybe even 90%, nobody knows for sure, they don't believe in violence. They believe in just live and let live and watch out for your neighbor. And they believe the government can make you behave, but they don't believe they can punish you if you're a heretic or you don't believe exactly as the official church believes or as someone else believes. So the whole history of the Western world since Jesus has been one of using violence in the name of Jesus. Now, when did Jesus ever use violence? When did Jesus ever use violence to say, you better become a Christian or you're going to hell? Never. When did Jesus ever say that?
Never.
Now, when did Jesus ever force somebody? Now, you better become a Christian right now or you're going to go to hell, you know. And just kind of force you, break your arm until you said uncle. Nope. Jesus never did it. As a matter of fact, he let them kill him for what he believed in. And he deliberately, consciously, knowingly went against what they taught. If you're an adulteress, you can be stoned by the elders of the Jewish religion. Or if you're a thief and so on and so on. And so that's still going on, though the Jews have given most of it up and Christians have given it up for the most part. But it's not long ago when Catholics down in South America were killing off Protestants, and they probably still do it. And Orthodox in Russia would kill off Protestant people like myself who would go there and preach Jesus and so on. Because I don't believe like they believe. I don't believe the way they believe. I have good news. I don't think they have good news. I think they're trying to force people to behave, and they got all these rules and regulations that are not in the Bible. So I don't have that. Mine's a happier, freer religion where everybody's free to believe what they want to believe. I've never forced anybody to do anything. I do tie Peggy to the bed sometimes. She doesn't say her prayers, but other than that, I don't force. No, that's not true. So I just don't believe that violence and religion go together. Why? Because I read that in the Bible. That's why. I read that in our Bible. Now, not everybody follows our Bible. I know that. But I believe our Bible is the truth. And so I don't force them to believe what I believe. But they would like to force me to believe what they believe. And there'll be a consequence. So, can you force the first table and force everybody in the world to believe a certain religious way? I can tell you story after story right here in America that right now it's happening in the military. If you're a Muslim, you're free to follow your Muslim beliefs. But if you're a Christian, even on a Sunday, they might make you do, certain exercises, and you're not allowed to go to church. It's the law. Those that are in the military who are pastors and chaplains and so on, they have strict regulations on them. You can't say Jesus, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And so there's a lot of laws today that are completely against our documents, but yet it happens. So it's weird. It's strange. Now, you are you're alive right now, and if you don't stand up and speak for your faith, they'll just keep going like they're going. So I believe that the way God did it is the right way, and I'm going to fight to the death for this right here, that everybody has the right to worship God in any way they please. Now, I don't believe they have the right to exercise that if it harms somebody else. But I believe they have a right to believe whatever they want to believe and even write a book on it or whatever. Boy, that's a tough one. And you remember I was telling you about the Puritans. When they came over here, they settled in Massachusetts and settled in Connecticut and New Haven and so on and so forth, Plymouth. There was another guy, Roger Williams, he settled in Rhode Island. And they kept trying to eat him up because they didn't like him teaching that everybody was free to believe as they wish, and that God, he said, God doesn't force the first table. And they said, oh, yes, he does. And they would chop ears off. They would chop noses off. If you were a Quaker or you were a Baptist or you were, you didn't believe what they believed, they used violence to say, you know, I'm going to beat you 39 times. And they would strip women and beat them right out in public. It was awful. And that was normal. Everybody in New England thought that was great. That's how you purify the church. And you keep all bad views out. And so if you didn't do it the way they said, they got a hold of the government, and the government would force both tables of the Ten Commandments. So they enforced the worship side. You have to worship the way Congregationalist worship, or you have to worship the way that synods of presbyters say to worship. But then in Virginia, they had to worship the way the Anglicans said. And they also would punish Baptists and put them in jail and take their livelihood from them and beat them and so on. So almost all of the 13 colonies were into that, but there were three or four that refused, and Rhode Island was one of them. So in the very beginning, when there were only a few of the colonies, they all conspired together to get the Indians to kill off Roger's group, to get the Dutch to destroy them, and then to send their own armies down to try to take Rhode Island and cut it up. It's just a small little state. It's the smallest state in the Union. But it was good for cows and different things down there. And so, let's just take their land, take it away from them, because they don't believe right. And then one day they decided, okay, let's let them be equal with us if they agree that no Quakers, because the Quakers didn't believe like the Puritans, if no Quakers come, in other words, we'll find the captain of a ship that brings a Quaker to our shores, 100 pounds. That was a lot of money in those days. Or if one gets into us, we'll beat them and then banish them. Or if they come back, we'll kill them. So that's kind of rough. And Rhode Island decided not to go that way. And they said to Rhode Island, you will go the way we say, and we'll help you to develop, and we'll make you equal with us, even though we don't like the things you teach. We'll forgive all that, as long as you hate the Quakers. And the Quakers were quaking. No, actually, the Quakers weren't. They were so bold that when you beat them and said, never come back or you're going to die, they'd come right back. They were so bold. They did all kinds of things I won't tell you about. They just did weird stuff to draw attention to themselves because they were determined to be free. And they were so free, they didn't have pastors or liturgies or anything. They just believed in the inner light. And they didn't have communion or Lord's Supper or anything. They didn't have any of that stuff. They just believed, well, we can believe the way we want to believe. Well, the Puritans didn't like that because they could get into Massachusetts and get into Connecticut and get into Plymouth and Hartford and so on, New Haven. And so they told Rhode Island, look, we know you guys are like the sewer of New England, and you take all the riffraff. But I'll tell you what, we'll make a deal with you. If you'll behave on this one deal, we hate these Quakers so much, we'll forgive all the other stupid stuff you have. We'll make you even equal to us. If you just have to agree, let's all kill the Quakers. So the Rhode Island wrote back and said, well, we can't do that because God in the Bible won't force the first table. Commandment 1, 2, 3, and 4. He won't do that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt make no images, and blah, blah, blah. Those four things. They said, we're going to force those, but we'll let you not. We'll let you not, as long as you hate the Quakers. Because we hate them. We hate them more than you. And Rhode Island wrote, nope, we're not going to do it. We're going to stick with the Bible. And so this is the history of your own country. I'm just telling you, we were intolerant of people that didn't believe the right way. And we felt we had a right to bore your tongue with a hot iron, to cut off your nose, to gouge out your eyes, to do all kinds of things. And so religion and violence has been typical for the last several thousand years. I'd say 6,000 years in the history of the world. It's been the norm. But guess what? They were a little bit premature, because God wanted it to start now, that there would be total freedom of the commandments, that they'll never be forced. And for 1,000 years, you and I are going to be ruling because we believe in that. And then God's going to set us up, but not destroy the others. Do you know that when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't hate the Jews. They hated him, but he didn't hate them. Do you know that he didn't hate the Buddhists? He didn't hate anybody. So they came later. But the whole idea is he didn't care what your religion was, and he didn't care what your government was. He didn't care. Let's say they asked him this question in Matthew 22. Let's look at it. Matthew 22. They said to him these words. Jesus, can we ask you a question? Sure. Sure. What's your question? Well, do you think it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Pay tribute to Rome? Because Rome had conquered the people of God. He had conquered the Jewish people. And he was their overlord, and he made them pay a tribute every year. They had to pay, you know, a tribute. Not a lot, but still the Jews resented it. Why should we pay that? Did God write that in the Bible? No. We don't think that's right. So instead of them defying Rome, they asked the question of Jesus. Jesus, what do you say? How do you think about this? Do you think it's lawful to pay the tribute to the Roman authorities, to Caesar? Do you think that? And Jesus said, you hypocrites. You're just trying to test me. You're putting me to the test because you don't want to deal with it yourself. You want to catch me. And whatever way I answer, I'll either go against the Jewish law or against the Roman law. I'll get in trouble. But I'll tell you what. Show me a penny. Show me a denarius. Just bring me a coin. So they said, what are you talking about? Just give me a penny. So he brought out a coin. I don't have one, but they brought out a coin out of their pocket and looked at it. And he said, okay, whose image and superscription is on this coin? It had a face on there, and it had written above it, Caesar. Oh, Caesar. And they said, okay, well, then if that's Caesar's coin, and he wrote his name on it and put his picture on it, give him what's his. So therefore, give him whatever is due him. Now that word in the Greek language is apodidomai. I want you to say it. Apodidomai. That's Greek. You don't know any Greek, but I'm teaching you some Greek. So apodidomai means to give back something that you're holding in your hand that actually belongs to somebody else, and they want it back right now. They're requiring that it be returned to them. So give back what belongs to somebody else that you're holding right now in your hand, which it's been okay to do it up until now. He's now demanding it. So he was saying, therefore, render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. And then he added, comma, and to God what belongs to God. So Caesar doesn't get everything in this chair, but he gets some things. So the government is the smallest. The government is the smallest. So here's the government out here, and this is Caesar. And here's what you owe your neighbor that isn't punishable by law. And here's what you owe God, and that's not punishable by law. So these two don't belong to Caesar. Only this one belongs to Caesar. What do you owe him? Oh, four things. Fear, honor, taxes, and tribute. Well, so there's the answer to that. So give him what belongs to him. I showed you the little coin, didn't I? Didn't you see the little face on there? That's Caesar's face. Did you see a little superscription written around it? Caesar says he made that coin and owns it, therefore give him what's his. Well, what's his? Only a few things. But taxes is one of them. How many know we don't like tax time? We don't like paying taxes because they're getting too big, Randy. They're just taking too much of our livelihood and our freedoms away by taxing us so highly and then giving it to causes that are not worthwhile. So the government now is rich and you're poor. And they want to even get richer. They want to take at least 85% of your income. And you can live on the 15. When it first started out, it was like 0.5%. And they complained about it. Why should we pay 0.5%? And now today, it's 40, 50, and even maybe 60% sometimes. And the hardest hit are the poor. The middle class can afford it. But it's still high. But and the rich, they know how to get around it altogether. So, but they pay their share too. So, but the poor get poorer and the rich get richer. Right? So, Caesar does get whatever, and whatever the market will bear, and right now he's pushing it. That guy's pushing it into the trillions, so you don't, it'd be different as a tax. He's just spending it. And you're the guy on the line. You have to pay whatever he spends. Isn't that exciting? Whatever happened to the consent thing about the people should consent to laws? Well, let's skip that. Skip that. Now it's whatever is owed by the Americans, let the American people pay it, and let the president fly around the world and play golf. And so they don't care, because we got billions and trillions out there, and the American people just keep making it. And so, and then they let the poor off, so the poor, they didn't even care either, because they're off, they don't make enough. So it's only the middle class that's disappearing. Did you hear what I just said? Now, all of this goes back to what Jesus is saying to listen to how he divides it. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but unto God what belongs to God. And then those things that are, here's faith, here's love. So this one produces this one, and it's not under Caesar. Like every promise that we make is not owed to the government. Now, there are contracts that we make every day with people. We don't owe them to the government. We owe them to each other. So all contracts are not enforceable. But some of them are just, hey, you give me that and I'll give you this. You come and wash my car, I'll help you do your dishes. You know, whatever. Now, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. And you don't owe that to the government. So the government is playing a small role, but they want more and more and more. They're trying to get more and more and more. Now, I don't have any problem with all that. My only problem is don't touch this one over here. My only problem is just let me have God first. You get last. I don't care how much you take. Take whatever you can get. I'll fight that later. But here's the deal. I'm going to stick with Jesus and I'll die over this. I'm not going to give worship to the government. That belongs to God only. And you are not going to tell me what to do or what not to do in the church. Well, they do. You have to have a 501c3 on your contributions. You have to have a local tax exemption on your building use. You have to have a state incorporation and blah, blah, blah. So they get to tell you what to do. And then soon they'll tell you, well, you have to have a homosexual pastor. And they'll be making up all kinds of things. Pastors know this. And they're scared. They're really worried about the IRS and about state laws and so on. But why don't we just follow Jesus? Did you know that? Listen to what Jesus said. This is really interesting. What Jesus said right here. He said, show me the coin. They show him the coin. Whose image and likeness is that? Oh, Caesar's. Okay, we'll render then to Caesar what Caesar, comma, and unto God what belongs to God. So he was telling the Jewish people that asked him the question, your problem is not Caesar. Your problem is you never rendered to God what belongs to God, and therefore you're in the trouble you're in. I'm going to say it again because I want you all to get this. That if you don't worship God the way he said, he'll let the bad guys take you. He won't defend you because you never did what he said. So Jesus said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, therefore, but unto God the things that belong to God. That was Israel's problem. Still is to this day. They're not worshiping God the way God wants to be worshiped. Freely. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Mind, might, whatever. In other words, God never said, worship me outwardly and I'll be happy. He wants this to be with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And he doesn't want Caesar to be any part of this. This is God's idea. I'm going to have this realm over here. I'm going to have this realm here, the natural realm. And I'm going to have this one, the civil realm. So here's the public trust. Here's the natural trust. Here's the spiritual trust. And I'm keeping them separate. So this one is not subject to this one. This one is free. This one is subject to God, and this one is subject to Caesar, with God, under God. In other words, the public trust is subject to the natural trust, and sometimes, as in Texas, it's informed by the spiritual trust. That limits the government. Did you see the two limits I just put on it? The individual is free from the state. Right here, I get to... I get to watch the television I want to watch. I get to spend my Saturday afternoon the way I want and so on. So there's a whole bunch of things I can do on my own. So the government can't tell me what to do in those areas. But they're gobbling up more and more, especially as the UN is taking over your local governments, like Dallas. You're following what they call sustainable development. That was invented over in Europe to set aside all kinds of wilderness things and puddles in your backyard and so on. All that water belongs to the UN, belongs to humanity. And, you know, they're doing all kinds of things. And local governments are being bribed and they're taking the bribes. And so Dallas, Fort Worth, all of them. There's not any exceptions. So you're actually losing all of your liberty. And the government's getting bigger and nature's getting smaller. And God's getting teeny weeny. Well, I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stick with God. Amen? Because I think God's the biggest.
Amen.
I think our problem is not how much the government's taking or how little nature's becoming. I think our problem is we never worship God with all our heart and soul and strength.
Amen. Come on.
And another thing, they use violence to kill Jesus. That's another problem. So, Jesus wants you to be a worshiper. He never said, okay, now that I'm here, it's going to be mercy, 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 and no more laws. No. What he said was, don't think I came to destroy the law. I actually came to fulfill it. What you're going to do is do it voluntarily now by the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to give you. So he came up with this new idea, totally new, where his death would pay for all your sins, and that would shrink Caesar. So render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Here he is. And unto God what belongs to God. There he is. And the more you render to them, the bigger this gets and the smaller this gets.
Amen.
You hear what I just said? Let judgment begin in the household of God. If you obey God and worship God, I don't mean go through a devotional book or something. I'm talking about truly worshiping God, talking to Him, falling in love with Him, confessing your sins, rejoicing, dancing, all kinds of things. This is the center of your life. Now, if it isn't, it'll be taken away. It'll be taken away because you're not worthy of it. But God's not going to allow that to happen. So you'll have to decide where you want to be personally, because God will never force you. He is not a forcer. He's not afraid of Caesar. How many know God is not afraid of Caesar? He can just blow him away. What he's doing is saying, the reason Caesar's gotten so big is because you never obeyed me. You didn't do what I said. If you had done what I said, I would have kept him small. But I'm not going to defend you because you didn't do what I said, so let Caesar have you. And that's why he sent him into Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And that's why we are where we are today. Now, the Puritans had the right idea. Let's have a Christian commonwealth. Great idea. The only problem is it only referred to the millennium, which hadn't even yet come. So they're trying to force something which God never will force, because in the millennium, nothing is going to be forced. He's not going to be forcing us. We're going to be free. This will get big and this will get zero. Did you know during the millennium we'll be ruling? The church of Jesus Christ will be ruling. Raul is going to get all of China. And Alex, you're getting Togo. No, I have no idea what anybody's getting. I'm just saying, you're going to be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You're also going to be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Wow. And so we're not going to lose, but those that are teaching falsely are going to lose. But not by violence. God doesn't do that. He doesn't need violence. How many know God? All God has to do is go, and you're gone. I mean, He doesn't need to kill people. He doesn't need to destroy people. He just withdraws and you're finished. And so that's why He says to you and me, don't change other religions. Just withdraw from them. Doesn't mean you can't witness, but don't witness with manipulation or force. Just witness openly. Now, a lot of countries today don't want us witnessing. And so in Israel, they used to prevent us. Now they can't. We can witness now. They just don't want you to use manipulation or force, though. So if they ask you a question, you're allowed to answer, kind of thing, and so on. But you can't just walk up and say, hey, you better accept Jesus, you're going to hell. You can't do that. But we don't allow that either, even here. We don't allow that. Why? Because Jesus was not trying to change Caesar. He knew Caesar would disappear. Caesar's not going to make it in the next few years. All of a sudden, he'll be gone. And all that'll be left is us. And nature also can disappear after the 1,000 years is up. And it will. But for 1,000 years, it'll still be here. Then after that, it'll be eternity. So I just thought you'd find it interesting. What I meditated on all night long is the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. And it was a word in ancient Israel and so on and so forth. It was a word, but it never became a reality. But now, when America began, it became a reality. Someone said, let's not just talk about it. Let's do it. And when Texas formed in 1836, their republic, they decided to do it. Well, right now, we have compromised ourselves, and we're doing a lot of stuff that the IRS wants us to do from America and a lot of other stuff. And I'm going to fight that. I'm going to oppose that. I don't oppose it with guns. I don't oppose it with force or violence. I just oppose it with words. And so I don't want that. I want to obey God. And they agree, and they say, well, you've got that. I say, oh, no, I don't. I want all of it. I want everything God gave me. Wow, you can't have everything God gave you. Yes, I can. Because I'm willing to die for it. You're not.
Amen.
So, whatever God gave us, there's a reason why He gave it. Because there's a purpose for everything. Why would He want you to be free? Free so you can then live the American dream? That is not why He wants you to be free.
No.
He wants you to be free so that you worship God with all your heart and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Then you'll have a small government. The problem today with the church is it's not His church. The church that we see today is a lukewarm church, a full of Darnell church. And God said, leave it that way. Leave it. Don't get rid of the lukewarm people. Let them be. Just draw away from them. So He said, don't dig up the weeds. Leave them grow together until the harvest. So the Puritans didn't do that. The Anglicans didn't do that. The Pope people didn't do it. Most Protestants didn't do it. But there were a handful, the Anabaptists and a few others, that fought for total liberty. And Roger Williams in Rhode Island was one of those. And that's why we have what we have today. He actually, the one guy everybody hated, he was an outcast. He is the one guy that prevailed. America would not be what it is today without Roger Williams. More than anybody else. And he opposed the Calvinist views. But he didn't do it with force. You know why he won? He didn't win because he was a good preacher, that he was a good preacher. He knew Hebrew and Latin and Greek and so on, just like I do. And he was very, very smart. But that's not why he won. He won because he lived a godly life. And everybody knew it. He knew Oliver Cromwell, close, close, close. John Milton, close, close, close. Henry Vane, etc., etc. All the people over in England, he was buddies with them. And that's how he prevailed. And so even though everybody hated him in America, he didn't hate them. As a matter of fact, they all talked about the only reason that all those colonies formed in America was to convert the Indians. Did you know that they never converted one? But he converted thousands of them by not converting them at all, but just by befriending them, learning their language, and starting to do trade with them and so on. And so many of them trusted him. Canonicus and different ones, Miantomi and so on. All those Indians, they didn't trust anybody, no Englishman except Roger Williams, because that guy would come around with a little canoe. He didn't have a lot of anything, but he came around with a little canoe. He was humble, worked hard, farmed himself. He was brilliant, but that's not what got him. It was his life. Everybody, even his enemies, said, there's never been a kinder man. That man really is like Jesus. And they all, even his enemies, Winthrop and Cotton and so on, they all admired him for his life. It's your life that counts. If you worship God, you're going to love your neighbor. No violence. If not, this is what's going to happen. So, now I just showed you something from Scripture, and I could give you 100 Scriptures off the top of my head, just like that. That what I just told you is the case. The only thing that will limit government is the laws of nature, this chair right here, and nature's God, this one right here. These are the only two things that Jefferson put in our Declaration and that Madison wrote out in our Constitution. These were the things that make government stop. Do you know where they got these ideas? Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples imagine a vain thing? And King David wrote that. And he said, there's only two things that the bad guys want to do. They want to break the shackles that hold their hands. He called those Moserati. Moserati. And they want to loosen the cords that keep their feet. And he called those Aboti. So those two words are the only two, and they're right there. This one is Moserati, the natural law which binds the hands of government so it can't reach everything, and God's law, which keeps their feet from transgressing and trespassing upon God's jurisdiction, where we owe God this worship and Caesar's not allowed. That's what made America great. That's what made Texas great. And that's what you're about to lose. But I say we won't lose it. So it's exciting. David and I have been working on this, I don't know, 18 years or long time. So we've been working on it a long time to know the scripture inside and out, confess all our own sins, live a godly life, and then get all of the judges and the lawyers and the representatives and senators to hear us. But first of all, I want to get the pastors, because it's the pastors that are sinning. They're the ones that are doing nothing. It isn't just because they know what to do and won't do it. It's also they don't even know what to do. They don't know what God wants. But when you read this scripture inside and out like I do every day, you see it everywhere. This has always been God's. God, the one thing God has never wanted is to have fornication take place from here over to there. Doesn't want any fornicating, any closeness here. Leave Caesar way over here. He's fine. Don't stop him. Don't kill him. Don't try to destroy him. Just do what God told you to do, and God will take care of Caesar. You grow this, you do this, God will take care of that.
Amen.
This will grow this, which will shrink that. I know you don't. I know you understand what I'm saying. But you don't see how simple it is. All God ever wanted, and that's what Jesus was telling the Jewish people. Render unto Caesar belongs to Caesar, chair 3. But unto God what belongs to God. Everything else. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll give you everything else.
Amen.
It's powerful. And I could go on and on and on and on, because that's what I dreamt of last night. Probably for 10 hours. I think I was asleep. But I feel kind of tired, so I'm not sure if I was asleep or not. But whatever it was, I had these incredible notes that I was taking. And it was just awesome. How many know it probably wasn't, but I thought it was in the dream. And, you know, it was like, wow, that is so incredible. And then I woke up a little tired this morning. I don't know if I really did sleep or not, but it was rich. It was rich. I didn't have anything to do with it. It just God began to speak, and we were conversing. That's what I do, by the way. My dreams are all about Scripture and God and, you know, whatever. Why? Because I believe in it. This is not a job. This is my life. And I believe the best has been saved to last. So.
Amen.
How many are ready to obey God and worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength?
Amen.
And love your neighbor as yourself? Boom! All of a sudden, you just solve the world's problems. You just do those two things. And by the way, all you do is the first thing. Because the first thing leads to the second thing. And then the third thing shrinks. And you won't have despotism. You won't have tyranny. You won't have what's going on right now. And the Republicans aren't going to solve it. Even if they happen to win the election, they don't know anything either. They got a lot of rhetoric, a lot of talk, but it isn't rhetoric and talk. And they all fight each other anyway and stab each other in the back. So it's very unlikely that we'll even win. So bad things will continue to happen because God isn't after the Republicans or the Democrats. He's after His own people. Doing what God wants. What does God want? Two things.
Worship God.
And love your neighbor. That's in the Bible. That's in Deuteronomy. It's also in the 22nd chapter of Matthew here. If you read on, it'll say those very words. So when Jesus says something like, show me a penny or whatever, He's actually, it's all knitted into everything he has said and everything he's about to say. And you'll see that it's the same topic, but if you just read it, you couldn't notice it. But if you look closely, you'll see, I see the reason he wrote this is so he could write this, so he could write this. It's all in perfect order. Does God want good government on the earth?
Yes.
Rather than Caesar tyrant? Does he want to have good government on the earth? Small and limited, et cetera, restrained government. The first problem in government is you have to govern government. You have to restrain it. You have to limit it. Otherwise, it'll go over God and it'll go over nature. So these two restraints, Moserati and Aboti, these two restrainers. Remember it says in the last day, the restrainer will be removed. You all aware of that in the book of Revelation? This is what he's talking about, the restrainer. It's this one right here. It's not this one. This one's not going away. They'll try to get rid of nature because they hate nature, because nature controls Caesar. In other words, did you know in nature there are no kings? Nobody was a king in nature. Everybody was their own. You know, you just did your own thing. So you were free and, I'll show you. And, you know, just people do what they did. Just like little kids fighting back in the nursery. So people just do what they want to do. But when you come into civilization, it's supposed to be ordered and organized so that the people that run the show aren't beating the people up, but they're serving the people and blessing the people. Well, it's a good theory, but it didn't work. And America, which has been the hope of the world, the beacon set on a hill, is now becoming the opposite. It's becoming where the CIA lies and cheats and steals. And, you know, you have members of the government that are doing business on the side and prostitution and blah, blah, blah. Our government is now corrupted to the hilt. And it's not only corrupt, it's inept. It's not only inept, it's bankrupt. And we could be bankrupt tomorrow. And it wasn't done accidentally. It wasn't done just because somebody, I didn't know I was doing that. Nope, they know exactly what they're doing. And they're after you. They hate. Did you know that the only thing they hate is you and me worshiping God with all our heart and soul and strength? And here's the problem. We don't even do it. With all the freedom you have, you're watching TV and, you know, whatever, doing something else, rather than, hey, the reason I'm free is the purpose for which God made me is to worship God, love my neighbor. And that is the key. That is the key to everything that's going on. Did you hear what I just said? It's powerful. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Worship God. That's all Jesus ever wanted. That's all God the Father ever wanted. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take away the violence. There's no room for violence. This thing goes forward by prayer. It goes forward by love, faith active in love. That's how we win the world.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Pastor, I had a question.
Yes.
I tell people this, so I don't know if I'm telling them right.
Sure.
But the thing that's going to change government to me,
right,
is an awakening, a great revival. Then it wouldn't matter if abortion or homosexual is legal or not, because the people stood up. And we don't want to do it anymore.
Exactly.
Because we serve God.
You
and
got it.
It wouldn't matter what the government did then.
Exactly.
If the people had a great revival. To me, that's the only hope.
That's the only hope.
It's a great revival.
You got it. Yeah. She's got it. 100%.
Amen.
Totally correct.
Amen.
Totally correct. And it's in the Bible. That's what's neat.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. That's what God wants.
Yeah.
These will be times of refreshing. Not, hey, we're all going to peter out and then Jesus will come back before the devil takes us or something. No. Jesus doesn't want to come back and mop up the bad guys. He wants us to grow up, not beat up the bad guys, just simply do what he said, and boom. Then you'll see. God will do a great thing, but the church has to revive.
Amen.
And then it wouldn't matter what the government told us we could or could not do. It wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't make any difference at all. Because
right.
we wouldn't be afraid of suffering, first of all, but second of all, you couldn't stop our laughter.
But the laws wouldn't have any power if the people...
You're right. You got it, exactly.
Yeah.
Susan.
This is, I came in late. Last week it was let the wicked be wicked and let the righteous be righteous.
Right.
And then the first thing you said when I came
Right.
But the thing that God has showed me this week is that everywhere you look, everyone is trying to do the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all over the world, I believe.
Sure.
It appears like there's a pressure being put on everyone.
Right.
And so there's confusion, or there's mainly misunderstanding. Like everyone.
Sure.
Everyone really wants to.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right.
And then so there's even like miscommunication.
Right.
Between families.
Right.
But
you see, we don't need to solve any of those.
No, but I'm saying that.
But that's true. Right.
That's happening everywhere.
Right.
But it's all because they're all trying to get to the Lord.
If you just do this all by yourself, you'll change the church. You'll change the world.
They all want to desire the same thing, no matter who they are, husband or whatever.
Sure.
The Lord and
they. Right. That's how you do it. Just start yourself. So who'd be first? Who's ready? Alex. Yes, 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 yes. Who else? Yes.
And that's why we have to spend time in prayer.
Yes.
It's so important.
So important. In the scripture, in prayer, every day. It's powerful. Now, I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm just saying what the Bible says. It's powerful. But I'm living that. And I love it. And I don't have any fear or doubt or worry or whatever about where we're going. I know God's got it rigged so that we win. So he's just calling us, and I'm just going back to the simple, original, nothing interesting foundation. That's all he's saying is, I just want you to worship me and then love your neighbor. Can it be that simple? Yes. And that's how you create the just world. In other words, this is the fruit of the first two chairs. This chair here is the fruit. It's either going to be because you missed the purpose here, so therefore you can't get it here. Or you found it there, and therefore it'll happen here. You get a limited government whenever you have people that are worshiping God. It's worship of God that limits the government, and love to your neighbor that limits the government. Here's the individual, and here's the church and the state being separated. Period. Simple as pie. All right, God is great.
Hallelujah.
He's good.
Glory to God.
David's going to close up.
Take a nap.
Oh, God's good, amen.
Woohoo!
Hallelujah. All it is.